Blog Talk Radio.
God, I need to let it go.
Lord, it's been holding me back. And I don't want it no more. I don't know exactly what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me.
Well, praise the Lord and good evening. I'm Evangelist Linda Caskers, and I'm welcoming you to Gatekeepers Ministry International this evening. It's been a couple months since we've been on the air, but I am blessed and I am motivated. And at the last minute, I decided to play that song because this is the season and the time that our hearts need to be pure before the Lord, no matter to us, no matter who said what, no matter what's going on. And that gives us a place of rest in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing the truth and resting in Christ, whether the truth is good or whether the truth is bad, whether the truth convicts, whether the truth hurts, whether the truth is the scripture, which is always true. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh my God, hallelujah. Just to rest in that gives me freedom. Every day I have to say, Lord, I forgive everyone that has hurt me. And it's a prayer. It's part of my life because of the things that have gone on in my life. So I welcome all our listeners that have called in and that are streaming in. I'm blessed today. It was a long day today at work, but I give God all the praise, honor, and glory just for the job. Hallelujah. Some people are trying to get a job, and some people wish they had a job, and some people are hurt and are hurting because they're unemployed. But I thank God that I can get up in the morning with a job that I like, that I'm loving, and that I'm being blessed at. And also it pays well. So that always helps. So I give God all the glory, honor, and praise tonight for our guest, Bishop Sylvester Wright, and his beautiful wife. Oh, my God, I heard her minister the other day and on Zoom. I was so blessed. I said, oh, I have to have them on together. That was leading me, and we're going to be blessed tonight, not just with the topic, but with the anointed man of God and woman of God, bringing forth the word of God. And I just want to add that Sylvester and I went to elementary school when we were little kids. Whoever knew? Did our parents ever know that he was going to grow up and make him to be a bishop? And I know my parents didn't know that I was going to grow up and go around the world and minister the gospel, lead people to Christ, live a life of Jesus Christ before then. You know, I just want to say this, because they knew me before I got saved. They were the two hardest ones to accept life in Christ. They just rebelled against me trying to be a new creature in Christ, transformed by the renewing of my mind, lifestyle, my behavior. And I led my father to Christ when he was failing many years later. And my mother and all her siblings would complain about and talk about how hard and unloving their dad was. And so the Lord told me, just love her. Just show her my love towards her while she's trying to understand your new lifestyle. So I just wanted to say that, you know, the Lord brings up proof and people who know you before you got saved are sometimes in your family are sometimes the hardest one to accept your new lifestyle. Finally, they did. Hallelujah. And that's the best part of it. So I pray right now, and then I'm going to introduce my guest. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just come before you right now. Lord, I humble myself before you, and I thank you. I'm grateful for all that you've done for me. I thank you for making ways out of no way. I'm especially grateful, Lord, that you're on my side. And all the challenges, all the battles, all the warfare, all the unexpected things, God, that the enemy could bring into a person's life, he's brought them in mind. But Father, I thank you that I'm not giving up because you grant me the grace to go through these things. You bring me out with victory. So, Lord, I thank you for teaching me how to walk in victory, to triumph over enemy, to walk in spirit. I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I thank you, Lord, for helping me and showing me all these years to be fruitful and that my fruit remain even in a storm, even in the battles, even with the challenges. Lord God, I thank you. I give you praise. I don't take it lightly that we're broadcast one more time. Thank you for this platform, Jesus, to blast your word into the heavenlies, through the frequencies, into the second heavens. And God, we give you all the praise. Father, I ask that you would move upon this podcast tonight. Would breathe your breath of life upon it, upon everyone listening, upon everyone listening, listen on demand. I ask you, Jesus, that you would beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. I lift up every listener to you right now, and I ask, God, that you would pour out your spirit upon them, that you would manifest in their lives, in their bodies, Lord God, what they stand in need of. In the mighty name of Jesus. That you would move by your spirit upon our children. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. Draw our children and our grandchildren closer to Jesus, to the bleeding side of Calvary, where they will say yes to your will and yes to your way. Guide, guard, and protect them, Lord God. Cover them in the precious blood of Jesus, our Savior. Make them soul winners, Lord God, that they would lead us into your kingdom. that they would be anxious to tell others about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this broadcast tonight. I ask that your word would go forth with power. And I ask that you use Bishop Sylvester Wright and First Lady Michelle Wright for your honor and for your glory. I'm humbled that they accepted to come on and minister to us tonight. This is the season, Lord God, for truth. Lord God, there's no truth in the White House. There's no truth in politics. Even some churches lack truth. But Lord, we're seeking you, Lord God, that our behavior would line up with truth. That our will would be swallowed up in your will. That we would be obedient, Lord God, and walk in truth. And that's where our rest lies. So, God, we thank you, and we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I was looking for a scripture to read this evening, and the Lord led me to Psalm 1. This is one of the first psalms that I memorized, but I'm going to read it from the Bible. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. This is my season. I don't know about you, but I thought the last season was my season. But I'm doing everything I can naturally to bring forth fruit in this season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not sober, are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of sinners in the congregation of the righteous. This scripture right here, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, clearly defines to me the difference between sinners and the righteous. Hallelujah. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. For that psalm, and I thank you for your word. Hallelujah. So, I think I've said enough. Hallelujah. I thank God for this opportunity. I always come on this broadcast. I've been doing this for 10 years now, or it might be almost 10 years, and I'm still nervous when I come on. But I thank God for allowing me to have this platform to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ and use the brethren that are anointed of God. So I said a little bit about Bishop Sylvester, the same elementary school, and his brother was in my class. I think Sylvester might be a year older than me. Brother was in my class. So Bishop Sylvester, are you there?
I'm here. Is that Elvis?
Okay. I gave you a small introduction, but Bishop Sylvester does ministry in other countries around the world. He's very fruitful in ministry, and I just love how thorough he is when he ministers. And I listen to his ministry because he does minister to congregation in other countries on Sunday. And I listen to him minister, and I've been blessed. So Bishop Sylvester and First Lady Michelle Wright, I want you, Bishop Sylvester, when it's time for your wife to speak, I want you to introduce her. So when you're finished, you can go straight into introducing her, and then she can minister, okay?
Amen, amen. Praise God.
Okay, you're on. God bless you.
God bless you, too. I greet everybody who is on this line and who is listening to this message. I want to also give honor to God first for allowing me this opportunity. And I want to thank you, Evangelist Linda Cazares, for allowing me to be a participant in fellowshipping with you in this broadcast with Gatekeepers Ministry International. It allows a platform for us to move away from the distractions of the world, but yet encourage those that have a need to receive joy and support in these times. The message of hope seen in the preaching of Christ crucified and his resurrection is so much needed these days, and the importance of hearing the call to preach or minister is precious in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible tells us, Evangelist, in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, and gives us a reassurance of our calling into this ministry of grace, and that we find ourselves to be a slave and attached to in humility and also love. It's because of God's love that he gave his only begotten Son, that he that believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those God sends to broadcast his word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do right now. Father, I ask, God, that all heads be bowed, all hearts be clear. God, Father, the word of the Lord, as Paul said, will have three courts, because some men do not have faith. God, I bind the enemy, God, that will come, Father, in high places, God, in wickedness, God, in principalities, God, the prince of air, God. I bind them in the name of your son, Jesus, to allow this broadcast and the efforts of Evangelist Tazarus, God, to be fruitful, God, for she has delivered unto herself, God, to be a slave for the gospel of your son, Jesus. So throw your weight around, God, and use your spirit as a hammer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before I go into this message and give you my title, I want to introduce to you some key points. And, beloved, one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible is about God being true, because that's what the scripture says, and every man a liar. And the King James Version of Romans chapter 3, verse 4. However, in another version, it says, no, indeed, God tells the truth, even if everyone else is a liar. The scriptures say about God, your words will be proven true, and in court you will win your case. The statement of God's morality and certainly includes his irrefutable sovereignty. There is a simple definition drawn from what the Bible teaches. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Even more to the point, proof is the self-expression of God. Beloved, this is the concrete biblical meaning of truth, because the definition of truth flows from God, for truth is theological. The meaning of truth is also ontological, which is a fancy way of saying it is the way things really are. The truth cannot be the truth and also a lie. You cannot say that a road is crooked and called straight. Reality is what it is because God declared it so and made it so. Therefore, God is the author, originator, source, determiner, governor, creator, arbitrator, ultimate standard, and the final judge of all truth. God is the heavyweight title holder of the world, and you can't take it away from it. To say that God is truth is to acknowledge that the nature of God. While many things can have the truth, only one thing can be the truth, with that one thing being God himself. Amen? We can confirm this fact in several scriptural places about God directly being the truth. For example, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. And the Lord called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. John 14, 17. However, the more indirect affirmation that God is truth is found in the book of Hebrews chapter, and you may have heard this many times in your sanctified walk with the Lord. People say it all the time, saying it is impossible for God to lie. The Greek word for truth is aletheia, which denotes being truthful or upright or having nothing to hide. It literally means to unhide or hiding nothing. It conveys the thought that truth is always there and transparent, always open and available for all to see, with nothing being hidden or disguised. It is not veiled in allegory, but is apparent to all. It simply is. Amen? The Hebrew word for truth is emes, which means firmness, constancy, and duration, also stable and faithful. Thus, the definition implies to the reality of an everlasting substance and also something that can be relied upon. From these terms and from other attributes of God that support his truthfulness, we find his immutability, meaning God cannot change. His infinity and in clarity, God cannot be partly something. And instead, God is the total sum of the whole. God is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the one who dwells in unapproachable light and his glory to behold. He is truth personified as the Word and became flesh to dwell with man. Amen? Beloved, here we are resigned to understand that God himself is absolute truth. This truth will never change and can always be relied upon. Praise God for being the truth. Amen? The total sum of understanding God and of man's relation to him is true rest. I come to tell you today that there is nothing we can do with our efforts that our Almighty God cannot do by his word. Likewise, there is nothing you or I can do that opposes the truth of God's word. We as individuals or together cannot make it more true, and we cannot make it less true. You've heard the statement, it is what it is. No, our job is to rest here in its truth. Let me say it again. Our job is to rest here in its truth. Amen? In the Old Testament, God subdued the disorder the Egyptians created over the Hebrew nation by bringing Israel out of Egypt and destroying the armies of Pharaoh. That's one point. Then God established his presence in the tabernacle, the second point, took up his place of rest and began to rule over the people he brought out of disorder into freedom. And again, much later, would you watch the continuing effort of God, the continuity. I want you to watch this. And again, much later, after Jehovah defeated and subdued Israel's enemies, through King David, The temple was built by Solomon. Then God took up his place of rest in the temple and began to rule over the people he had once again restored. In each case, first God acts in power to establish order out of disorder. And then second, he takes up his rest and begins to rule over what he has brought order into. However, each time, whether it's through Adam, Moses, David, or Solomon, authority with the people he has given rest to. The bottom line in all this, we are to enter as his people, enter his rest and begin to reign with God. Rest in God's truth. Rest in God's truth is my title today. John chapter 14, verse 5 and 6 is my supporting scripture. Then Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. In the book of John, chapter 14, of him being the way, the truth, and the life, he spells out the direction, its legitimacy, and the life of immorality offered in the gospel. Amen? Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the only way to God and the real truth. And the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Matthew 11, verse 28, "To come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Beloved, in the next verses of scripture, seen in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, I would like to point out how the word of God helps the believer to obtain security and support, meaning rest, through God's word, which is his truth, as seen in verses 9 to 16. Amen? Now, here's where it starts off at. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." You see that?
Yes.
"Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Remember, I said earlier that there is nothing we can do with our efforts which our Almighty God cannot do by his word. And likewise, I also said this, there is nothing you or I can do that opposes the truth of God's word. Now watch the next six verses in the same chapter as it introduces to the reader after explaining and encouraging the believer to therefore labor into the rest with this particular group of following power of God's word. Amen? "It is not by the letter, beloved, but by the power. For the word of God," the Bible says in verse 12, "is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet now, without sin. Let us therefore," this is our rest now, "let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus made access for us. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22 talks about God's words. He says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Beloved, God's word is truth, life, deliverance, healing, and rest for us. God's word is the indiscriminate, unadulterated, immutable, and undisputable truth about God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For it contains everything we need to know about entering into that place of God's rest. However, what we meditate and focus on will either bring to us life or death. Amen? Beloved, as believers, we should be always asking for God's help to hear his word and not the words of the world. I also encourage you to think about, pray, and ask God to help you focus on the words coming out of your mouth, so that instead they speak life over your mind and body and not death and negativity. Always praising and thanking God for showing you the way in Jesus' name. Scripture declares that the word of God is the Lord himself, and by it all things in heaven and earth have been established. If you have a desire to know truth, you should look into God's written word and look to Jesus Christ. John refers to Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, saying, in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus speaks to us as the Word, and in the Word, saying, behold, I come in the volume of the book. In the Old Testament scene in Psalms chapter 40, verse 7, in the Amplified Version, it says, then I said, behold, I come to the throne. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. In the New Testament, seen in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, we parallel the same scripture. And he says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. We're talking about Christ. The word is God's full message. And Jesus embodied that full message, which is why he is called the Logos, or Word of God. The Bible defines truth as being pure, saying the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. We praise God for all that he does, for all that he promises, for everything that he is. However, what we meditate, as I said, and focus on will either bring us to life or death. And we need to be careful of how we declare and enter in God's rest. Jesus speaks to us as the word, and the word saying, behold, I come, as he said, in the volume of the book. The Bible defines scripture and its intended purpose as being pure, as I had said earlier. And the Bible tells us that God loves righteousness and justice. Jesus prayed to the Father for his apostles and all believers just prior to being taken for trial and for his crucifixion. Here Jesus enters into a specific prayer. The Lord grants us insight into God's word, saying in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Beloved, God is truth and his word is truth. Salvation comes by only by accepting Jesus and agreeing with the Lord, saying, your word is truth. Yeah. Jesus said, your word is truth. When we look at the Bible, we see truth. The Bible does not merely contain the truth. It is the truth. Every word is truth in every part of the Bible. Amen? We can't change one part of it, he said. Cursed is he that changes one dollar drop. In this verse, Jesus communicates by prayer two important facts. God's word is truth. God's word equals truth. And it is by that truth that God sanctifies us as believers and sets us apart for holy service for him. In that same prayer, Jesus prayed for his disciples and all who will believe in him through the gospel. This is just before his crucifixion. Believers accept God's word and accept Jesus as God's word. God is truth, and his truth brings salvation to all who will accept it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to God or to the Father unless they come through me. Furthermore, God's written and living word will sustain believers as they are in the world. And what is this biblical definition of truth? Jesus said, I am the truth and the way, offered for humanity to believe in the one true way into heaven. Jesus also said that the written word of God is truth. It does not merely contain nuggets of truth. It is a pure, unchangeable, and inviolable truth that, according to Jesus, cannot be broken. John chapter 10, verse 35.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 14, verse 5 and 6, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In a conversation between the truth, who is Jesus, Jesus being the truth, the representation of the truth being God, and Pilate the general, who sees the question presented to Jesus, these words, and he says, who both represent and is the embodiment of truth? He questions Jesus. Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium, which means a large tent. And the general summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. In my kingdom, or if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born. And for this I have come into the world. Now watch this, to testify to the truth. Everyone is of the truth who hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? John chapter 18, verse 33 to 38. Beloved, Pilate's question, what is truth, has reverberated down throughout history. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 40 says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. How many of us that are in the Lord are so busy moving around and being concerned about making sure everything is right before we come to the Lord and set our lives straight? When God says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. So it says in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. See, Mary entered into that place of rest, Beloved, there is a parallel story I read about a man's preparation of a few visitors he had received. And in this story, I believe it's similar to the situation with Martha and Mary and what Jesus was portraying. So in the story, the man said, "No wonder I'm so tired. After all the guests left, I worked hard before they came. While they were here, before they came, and after they had gone, I'm exhausted." Similar to the reflection and the impulsiveness of the human mind to constantly overthink and to burden oneself with the unnecessary planning and replanning of detail and many of life's concerns. My brothers and sisters, it is nothing wrong with being wise and making good judgments. Yes, to be prepared reduces the possibility of disorder and confusion. However, to intensely carry the burden and need of either planning or executing anything is not in conformity with God's plan. For God's work is already done. And it unfolds in all its beauty and order as human consciousness is held in relation to the divine. It is through the expression of godlike qualities in daily contact and the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Beloved, in life, there is complexity, hardship, unwelcome and untimely trials. Deep-rooted pains resurface from the past, arguing immediate attention for the solution to be found. The hustle and bustle of everyday living with all its demands are constantly tugging at our heartstrings, stretching us to lengths of unbearable places to sustain. The blow from the news media seen on television and the interaction from our places of employment, community, family, friendships and more can leave us tired, breathless, and burdened. Amen. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all those who are heavy laden." Perhaps the sudden need for quiet and rest might be in your mind, and the best option for your well-being is, thus, you take a me day. No condemnation should come from such a decision. But where and how you should rest might be the answer. Amen. So always,
amen,
resting in the Lord and giving your burdens over to him is the biblical truth found in God's word. Beloved, there is two scriptures I would like for you to understand what God wants us to know about his truth and resting in it. The following text tells us about this life here on earth and the glorious life offered through the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. No priest, no sheep, no lamb, no scapegoat. He's the one. He went into the holies of holies." And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says, "And they overcame him by the blood, that same blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until the death." Jesus said, "Find rest in him because he has overcome the world," allowing believers to be the same. The resurrection of Christ, our Savior, establishes and vindicates Jesus as the Lord of creation, the one who is even now making all things new. Praise God for giving us a living hope and a rest found in Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 says, "There remaineth therefore rest for the people of God." And the proof of this eternal rest is found in the book of Revelation 21, verse 1 and 7. And tells us about the everlasting benefits of having faith in the resurrection and the promise of God's grace and a new life within. Praise God for the promise of eternal rest. Amen. Here in the following scripture, God's ultimate plan for humanity is forecasted for you to know. For in this scripture it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne says, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things. That's this rest now. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Believer does not have a dead hope. For the Bible tells us we have a living hope in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And this living hope will never end and eternally sustains us as we endure anything that is of this world. Ours is a living hope only because of the foundation that it is built upon, which is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The fact that Jesus was raised to life 2,000 years ago gives us an unshakable conviction, confirming that our hope is not in vain. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, I'm going to read it from the OJB version. It says, then he answered and spoken to me, saying, this is the Devar Hashem unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by Koach power or by my Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit, say Hashem, has veiled. Which means in Zechariah, in the King James Version, chapter 4, verse 6, and he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Beloved, that spirit is the Lord, and where the spirit of the Lord is liberty, there is peace and rest there, and from it we find our freedom. At the end of Romans chapter 8, Paul asks, what can separate believers from God's love in Christ? Verses 38 and 39 form the heart of his answer. And Paul says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul could not be any plainer or clearer. Eternal life is eternal. No one or nothing at any time or place can ever separate us from God's love. And just like we can't cease being the children of our earthly parents once we are born into this world, so too we can't cease being children of God once we are born again. We can no more be unborn spiritually than we can go back and be unborn physically. When we trust in Christ for salvation, the very moment we become members of God's family forever, and we can rest right there. The Bible tells us, and the message was on truth and rest, but my title today says rest in God's truth. For Jesus has told us that he came to give us life. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share this message. I hope you were blessed and encouraged. You can listen to the broadcast and refer to the scripture. Don't just believe what everybody says. You be like the Bereans. Check the word like Paul said and see if I'm in error. But we ask God that he will bless the word accordingly. I thank you, Evangelist, my wife, Evangelist Michelle is going to come behind me and beside me, and I am so honored to allow her to participate, and as I participate with her, to support and for having her here.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord. You are a good God and worthy to be praised. We are entering into my favorite time of year. As we rise in the morning, you can drink in all of the sounds and scenery of nature. You experience the warmth of the sun on your face, the birds chirping, and the slight breeze moving in the trees. It's quiet and all is at peace. This is the time when I go out on the deck in the quiet of the morning and experience the presence of God. It is peaceful and his handiwork is evident while I drink in his presence. In these moments, I stand in awe and I know that he is God. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. These moments of mine allow me to quiet my spirit and look within. And I see myself in relation to how God moves and blesses his people. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. In my spirit, I sense a release and release and might show as an open action of a strong emotion like crying. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. So that all the people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. As the tears flow, a calmness overflows my soul. It is evident that I am worshiping while experiencing his glory. The Holy Spirit then puts a song in my heart for that day. Because the Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who falls and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. These verses were read from Psalms 145, verses 1 through 15. Thanks after this message. I hope you'll be inspired to enter into worship daily with a new awakening and find the rest you deserve. The title of this message is True Worshippers Will Find Their Rest. The main passage is John 4, verses 23 and 24. Yet a time has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit. And his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. To start this message, I first want to shed some light on worship and rest. When we worship of worship in John 14, 23, we are partially right when we think of worship as being expressed in a church service. truthfully, some church services are not conducive for some parishioners to even focus on their worship during the service. Therefore, it is understandable for us to know that our alone scheduled time is the best time and most important for our worship. Our time to worship may incorporate many things, prayer through praise, verbal or with song, and also waiting in his presence. Also, our works can be considered as our worship. As the word says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And in our rest, in Psalms 23:2, it describes the type of rest which can be interchanged. When the word of God speaks of rest, it is not just a passive notion. It's not always referring to relaxation, leisure, or inactivity, even though it can be those things. God's rest can be a sense of you working your purpose to bring him glory. And that is good for your soul, and it brings peace in the innermost being or gives rest. When Jesus told the lady at the well in John 4:23 that there is a time now when God seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth, this was in relation to their religious practices of worshiping gods they had no knowledge of. This is considered having a blind worship. But our Bible tells us that we must worship him in truth. You must know who he is, who is the truth, to truly worship in truth. So what is our responsibility? We must first know the who and also the why of our worship. This comes through studying his word that is all truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalms 119:165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I would like to shed light on the who of our worship. Our praise becomes our worship. We praise him for who he is. But before you can come to know the one in God, you must acknowledge in your heart that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Jesus. But before we can worship God, you must accept the Son as your Savior. There is no skipping over the sacrificial lamb to get to God the Father. Oh, no, the devil is a liar, amen? And we should not be passive about this fact. We can boldly know and confess there is only one way to the Father, and that is through his Son, who is the way, the truth, and the light. This validifies him because he is the only eternal God. To explain further, Jesus is the way of God, the way for our salvation, because he is the only one who died for it. Jesus is the truth because he is the embodiment of truth. Thy word is truth, and Jesus is the word full of truth and mercy. Jesus is the life because he is the source of life itself. He is the only one who can give eternal life. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen?
Hallelujah.
We must settle in our heart. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever, as stated in Psalms 119:160. You know the saying, having knowledge is power. Well, having knowledge in God is having all power of truth dwelling in us. This gives us assurance, which now gives us the ingredients we need for our true worship. Now we come to the why we worship. One reason is we benefit from being in his presence.
He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. God is always seeking for those who want to learn of him and who and why they worship the true and living God. God will come to any house where he is welcome. You must invite him into your dwelling, which is your heart. You must know what you believe about him. Then you'll know why he deserves your worship. I believe in order to worship God effectively, it's good to know the attributes of the God you worship. By knowing the characteristics of God you serve, you equip your mind to know him intellectually and your soul to know him spiritually. You can worship him by giving him the praise due his name. Hallelujah. This way you can speak back to him what you know in your heart to be true. You will drink in the knowledge of who God is. I will share more of my favorite meat. See God as he is and will celebrate his glory. Psalms 145, starting at verse 16. You open your hands and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. The reward of our diligence for seeking him. The Bible says, he that seeks me shall find me. You'll find the God of all truth and a specific word from his truth just for you. You'll find a rhema word deposited into your spirit from the Logos or written word that will be transformed into a living word from God made for your personal worship. Cherish it as one might do a fine pearl. Now your preparation for worship is made evident as you prepare your soul with your posture. When you position yourself by the still waters to behold God in all his glory, it has a way of humbling the soul. You're able to enter that place of worship where you find rest, because in that place of worship, we accept his provision of peace from his green pastures. The Lord's lamp sheds light on a person's life, searching the innermost parts. Proverbs 20:27. Saints, we must come to agree with God as to who we are in him. We acknowledge that God knows our inward thoughts. We, like David in Psalms 51:6, will also acknowledge, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. This means our sinful heart can only respond with our confession when the God and the Lord sends wisdom from on high. This revelation from the outside can bring wholeness to the inside. God provides everyone with a spirit that can evaluate actions and motives. We have the capacity to know and please him. That consciousness functions as a lamp. That is why the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's innermost being. This is important because a part of worshiping a true and living God is having the ability to see ourselves as he sees us. Not how we think people see us, but how the all-knowing God sees us. Nothing is hidden from him, and we must give account of ourselves to him. Knowing this truth is knowing who God is and what God can desire truth from us, because the entirety of his word is truth. And as we read his word, the light of the truth is deposited into our spirit. John 3:21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So we must become naked and lay bare before him. This gives us a sense of liberty or freedom, knowing that an all-powerful God loves us with all our shortcomings. This feeling compares somewhat to the easy feeling you have when being around someone who knows the best and even the worst side of you. You have a sense of freedom in that person's presence. Well, that is how the liberty and freedom God gives, along with the forgiveness of our sins. This is a gift that comes from our confession. A spirit of forgiveness flows over us as we confess our sins and accept his forgiveness. That acceptance of his forgiveness allows us to forgive others. We can throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily besets us, entangles us, holds us in bondage, and holds us from our worship and our work. We are free from whatever hinders our rest. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke bondage. The definition of freedom is having the ability to act or change without constraint or to possess the power and resource to fulfill one's purposes. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Or you may now breathe out a sense of relief. Once you have that relief, you're able to breathe as described in one of the breathing practices of yoga. This practice instructs you to take in a deep breath through your nose, then let it all out through the mouth. Even your body movements, your shoulders will rise to the breath, holding it in through the nose for a few counts. Then slowly breathing out the breath through the mouth while slowly dropping your shoulders. And with the last breath, letting the shoulders drop, pushing out the breath through the mouth. While the breath is released, a sense of calmness fills the body. The letting go of the breath is called a cleansing breath. And as you release and humbly stand before our awesome God, a calmness comes over you. This is a feeling and a knowing that you're in his presence. When we worship God, he reveals our purpose for that moment, that day, or confirms our purpose for the future. This helps to alleviate the pressure of not knowing how or when God will move. When God moves you from something or frees you from something, he will always move you to something that will sustain you. Amen? There's always a movement happening from something and to something through your worship. From worry to peace, from sorrow to joy, from death to life, there is always a movement with God. Just wait for his glory to reveal it. John 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Seeing his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Saints, when you see him in all his glory, you get to see the bigness of God. While you are in his presence and diligently seeking him, it causes your problems or what you were worrying about to become less threatening. If you hold on to that moment and surrender your worries over to a capable God, you'll cease from your worries and you'll be released from the stress of those daily struggles that hinders your worship. You might have to speak to your environment if God gave you the power to say, as Jesus said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Some of you will have to admit that today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. As we discover the importance of our diligent, remaining diligent in our worship day ahead. Remember, God promises to give you your daily bread. When we stay in God's presence long enough, our helper, the Holy Spirit, reminds us to get dressed in your armor. Be ready for the battle ahead. And we know there will be battles. Amen? So if you want that rest that comes from your worship, you must stand guard and remember we are in a spiritual battle, a battle to arrest our peace. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God so you can take stand against the schemes of the devil. Be still and know that he is God, and you shall find rest unto your soul. When you worship the God of all truth, be still and know that he is God, and it will lead you to your rest. So you can rest in the truth of what you have in him through Christ, your good shepherd. You worship him because of what he gave you of himself, his life. When Jesus said in John 10:11-15, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. I lay down my life.
Yes,
we are
my God.
His pastors. Our rest comes when we lay in his green pastures by the still waters. This is to provide our daily needs so we can return tomorrow to receive what we need from his provision. Our worship becomes our rest when we breathe in all who God is and breathe out who we are in him and what we have in him. We can enter his sweet rest. What enters your spirit is peace. When you realize our God is our shepherd, you don't need to worry about your provisions or your safety. Just keep your confidence in him, even though you know there will be challenges that are unaware. In Psalms 23:2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yes. He leads you beside the still waters where you find your rest and peace because he has made the provision for you. Rest that calls you to slow down and take in his peace that will calm your mind and bring rest to your soul. Lord, you are true to your words. You let us catch our breath as you put your mind at rest and lead our steps in the right direction. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 37:7. This rest only comes when you find that still, quiet place where you may slow down, be quiet and still, and experience his deep, pure love intimately while you fellowship with him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful, Jesus said in John 14:27. Our rest is a promise given by God and is an encouragement to us, as explained in Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, since the promise to enter his rest remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. And verse 11, let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. Yes, saints, not to enter God's rest is disobedience because it can allow pride to come into our lives try because we continue doing our own thing and not the works of God. We have not released from our rest. We have not ceased from our rest. Our works can be fleshly by doing the right thing for the wrong reason or doing the wrong thing for the right reason. Our works done outside of the Spirit can be deceitful and tricky, hard to discern without the guidance shown to us through the word of truth. Then in verse 12, the effectiveness of God's word is revealed. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword, trading as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Saints, I always wonder why in the same chapter telling us about how we should enter into God's rest, verse 12 starts describing the word of God. I believe it's there to give the saints of God the knowledge of the source or the tool we are working with, giving us the assurance to know that the word we stand on and put our trust in has the power to deliver and to help us to enter into our rest. Deliver from what, you might ask? Well, since the word is living, it has all power to deliver us from evil, from sin, and from death. When we apply the word of God to our lives by being a doer and not a hearer, does its work in us as a weapon that is as a two-edged sword that pierces our heart by going in our very joint and marrow. The word cuts deep. It cuts one way when we read it and then turns and cuts another way when we speak it. The word of God judges our thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. It checks us, saints, and let us know if we are avoiding God's rest by continuing our own work. In closing, remember, he who has entered God's rest has ceased own labor. We should not be laboring in self-doubt, self-pity, or self-inadequacy now that we came to Jesus and are doing his work. To do his work, you have to be spiritually fit. Your spiritual fitness comes from spending God time with our Lord. You get spiritual muscles, not to fight your own battles, but now you allow your muscles to work for him. You can't rest and wrestle at the same time. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is he who seeks after you so that you can worship him when he makes you to lie down in his green pastures. He leads you beside the still waters, which is your peaceful place in him. Those who have an obedient heart understand that, yes, he makes you to lie down in his green pastures and rest. Enter into his rest is to keep his command. So as you worship, know that the true worshipers who worship the Father in spirit and in truth will find their rest. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Thank you, Evangelist Michelle. That was powerful. What a husband and wife team. My goodness, the way you two minister sound like the way you both live together. One, I'm just blessed. I knew that this topic would be hand-delivered under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit by communion to my audience and to the world. I never know who's going to listen to a broadcast on the website that's been played for the last 8 years, 9 years. And every now and then I'll go see how many people have listened to this, this, or this. And I'm really surprised that some broadcasts have been listened to almost 100 by 100 different people, and others by 50 different people, or 45 or 35 or 60 different people. So I'm just honored. And this is a powerful message for this time. It's the simplicity of the gospel. These words, truth and rest, are part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I appreciate you, Bishop Sylvester and Evangelist Michelle. I'm grateful, honored, and humbled to have had you minister on the broadcast, and the anointing was powerful. I'm just blessed. I didn't have the best day today, and I feel revived listening to both of you. So I thank all the audience for calling in and for streaming in, and I appreciate every listener that listens live or on demand after the broadcast is over in about 7 minutes. Anyone can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And, you know, years ago when I was at my home church at a women's conference, my senior pastor is deceased, and my cousin's husband succeeded the senior pastor. And so my cousin had this women's conference, and it was powerful. And the guest speaker was, her topic was gatekeepers. And she ministered on how all of us are gatekeepers in the Lord. Parents are gatekeepers of their children. And you can define anything, like on your job and what you oversee as a gatekeeper. And I know that God honors gatekeepers. Nehemiah was a gatekeeper, and throughout the book of Nehemiah, he names gates and Jerusalem, and he was a powerful gatekeeper for the nation of Israel. And so I'm blessed. And when the lady was ministering at the conference at my home church, the Lord said, "That's the name of your ministry." I did not want my name on the ministry. And the Lord said, "That's your ministry name." So I just thank God, because I'm the gatekeeper of this platform, and I feel in the school where I work, over these children, that their parents entrust in our classroom every day. And the principal of the school is a gatekeeper. And so I just give God praise. I thank you, Bishop Sylvester and Evangelist Michelle. I thank you again, and all the listeners. And I'm honored. I'm hoping to have a broadcast next Thursday. I guess I'll be advertising on Facebook or other social media platforms. But I'm going to keep this going. And I believe God to give me a message that I can deliver, because I used to be the only one on this platform speak every Thursday night before I got my own broadcast. I was on someone else's broadcast on the internet for a couple of years. And it was just me ministering for an hour or 2 hours. So we give God praise. I'm a soul winner. Go out and win a soul for Christ. Call somebody up and ask them, are they getting closer to the Lord? If not, give them the website address, www.blogradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. So I always end the broadcast by saying,
and only what we do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. Walk in truth and listen to this broadcast again. If you're being challenged, if you can't sleep at night, roll this broadcast on your computer or on your phone and just let it. The voices are soft and they're anointed. Let the anointing power of the Holy Spirit minister to you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Evangelist here, Linda Cazares. I'm honored and blessed that you joined us tonight. God bless you. Have sweet dreams. And only what you do for Christ will last. Amen.